Now, chapter 27 of the book of Leviticus has as its theme dedication and devotion concerning vows. And immediately when you begin to get into this chapter, why, you wonder why it is here. Fact of the matter is, it appears to be an addendum or a postscript to the book of Leviticus. And most expositors note this, and some actually consider it a major problem of the book. Sites, he doesn't even consider it, because after chapter 25, he doesn't give any exposition of Leviticus at all. Lange treats this chapter as an appendix. Now, I think that the matter seems to be extraneous and unrelated to the contents of the book, but there's no reason to make a mountain out of a molehill. I think that here we see a very definite purpose in placing this chapter last. And I think that there have been those like Dr. Kellogg with real spiritual perception. They note that all which has preceded this chapter is obligatory, while here all is voluntary. Actually, this makes a beautiful, I think, and fitting climax to the book of worship. And John, for instance, chapter 21 follows John chapter 20 in very much the same fashion. John 20 is his appearances, you remember, and then John 21, why, and he gives them that command in 20, you're to go into the world and preach the gospel. But wait a minute here. He says to Simon Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Voluntary, if you please. You find that's God's method all the way through. Now, the striking feature about the vows in this chapter is they are voluntary. But after you've made a vow, God holds you to it. That's the thing that's important to note here, that it's the response of a grateful heart to promise God something and then to go through with it. The thought of a saved person is, well, what can I do for him since he's done so much for me? And the inspired writer phrases it, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? And the believer today is enjoined also to respond to the grace of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. No command, just I beseech you. And in Titus 2:12, teaching us the grace of God has appeared, it saved us. What does it do? Demand something? No, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And here is what Micah says. He hath showed thee, O man, what's good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Every normal believer today wants to do something for God. He wants to pledge something to God. The deepest problem is to find something worthy to pledge to God. Ephraim Cyrus put it like this, I pronounce my life wretched because it's unprofitable. And David Brainerd cried out, oh, that my soul were holy as he is holy. Oh, that it were pure as Christ is pure and perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. You see, these are the sweetest commands in God's book, comprising all others. And then the question is, shall I break them? Must I break them? Am I under a necessity of it as long as I live in the world? Oh, my soul, woe, woe is me, that I'm a sinner. Now, what can a saved sinner offer to God? Well, this chapter answers the question. And a vow, though once made, becomes mandatory. Proverbs 20, verse 25, it's a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. You make the inquiry first. And when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. That's Ecclesiastes 5, 4, and all the way down through 6. There promissory vows and vows of renunciation. And these are what we're dealing with in this chapter. This is a remarkable chapter, by the way. You remember we have a famous one in the Bible. There's that of the Nazarite. And then the most notable one of all is the vow of Jephthah. You remember Jephthah made a vow. And there's an optional rendering here of verse 31, I think, which seems to forbid the offering of human sacrifice. The last part of the verse in that section back in the book of Judges should read, "When I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, or I will offer up a burnt offering." And I think that's the way. He didn't mean that he would sacrifice a child of his at all, but he did mean that he would offer up that to the Lord as belonging to the Lord's, but not to sacrifice or to kill that person at all. And I think that's what happened. We're told here that the daughter of Jephthah never married. It came to pass. I'm reading now, by the way, and I think I should turn back to Judges 11, 39. "It came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow which he had vowed, and she knew no man." That is, she did not marry, and believe me, that was a terrible thing for a Hebrew woman. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite 4 days in a year, because she had, well, shall we say, taken the veil. She did not marry. She was dedicated wholly unto the Lord. It doesn't mean he offered her as a sacrifice. He would do that or make a burnt offering. It was a rash vow, but he at least kept it. And a great many Christians today are not keeping their vows to God. I believe that God will hold you to a vow. If you do not intend to keep it, or you are thinking you're dealing lightly with God, why, you better take a second look at it. I think today that there are many Christians been set aside. I think there are many today that are being judged. And I think that today that there are many that have fallen asleep, as Paul says. Now, listen to Deuteronomy 23. "When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee." Now, God's not asking you to do this. This is voluntary. But if you promise God something, be sure you go through with it.